Our reading this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. You'll recognize it. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted and for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted.
Holy and gracious God, we pray that the words that we have heard, the ones we have spoken, the ones of ancient scripture, the ones that we have just heard beautifully sung, would stir deep within us so that we would hear where you are speaking to each of us, where you are making your word for us new again. May we listen for your spirit in our lives and in the world today. And may the words of my mouth now and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have been quite fortunate in my life to have done a good amount of traveling so far. I think it's something like 33 states, 3 U.S. territories, and 19 countries on 3 continents. Like, I'm really lucky to have that experience. But my favorite place on the face of this earth is called Mensch Mill, a small UCC church camp in the woods of southeast Pennsylvania, where I am from. And while Mensch Mill has gone the way of so many other church camps like it and has closed, it still remains my favorite place, and probably always will. I went to Mensch Mill every single summer growing up for summer camp, usually with the same 3 girls who still remain some of my closest friends to this day. And when I was in high school, I attended and then later served on a committee that planned and executed weekend-long youth events that were also held at the camp. We called it a 2x4 ministry. To the youth, by the youth, for the youth. 2x4. Those youth events, that model of youth ministry, and the people who came to those events and were at that camp are a fundamental reason of why I am standing before you now as a pastor. In fact, when I finally became aware of my call to ministry, every single one of my Camp Mensch Mill friends said to me, "Oh yeah, we knew. We were just waiting for you to figure it out." Being a part of Mensch Mill and those youth events was to be a part of a place that was teeming with love and with acceptance. where God's presence was easily felt, there were no barriers, and where beloved community was created and practiced among children and teenagers. I never felt more myself than when I was at youth events or at summer camp. And I know that I'm not the only one to know what that feels like. That goal, that kind of community, well, it's a bit of an impetus for a big hope that we have for our community of Greenwich and for the youth in it. And I say we because, as some of you might know, First Church and 2CC are the first two churches, but hopefully not the last two, to support this idea of what we're calling a regional youth ministry initiative. Working title, might not stick. And it's not just for us as individual congregations or for us to have a shared youth group together, but it's for a community youth group, whatever that might look like, for any church or organization or youth who wants to be a part of an inclusive, relaxed, fun, and faith-filled experience together. Both of our respective councils have approved a job description to hire a director for this initiative, and I'm very excited to say that the position has been posted to our UCC's national search page for opportunities, and it's also been posted to our conference's classifieds webpage, and we're going to do more getting the word out there as well. But so, for right now, I ask you all to pray that God leads us and the right person together for this endeavor for the sake of our youth. And if you want to know more, or you have questions, or you want to talk about your experiences, I would love to chat about it either at coffee hour or find my email on First Church's website or call me. We'll go to coffee. We'll have a chat. I would love to talk with you. I am a testament to the lifelong impact that good youth ministry can have on young lives. And once again, I know that I'm not the only one. And to that point, at the end of every youth event, we had a little tradition. We called it affirmations. And everyone would write something nice that they witnessed or that they appreciated about everybody else who was there that weekend. I actually brought one of mine along for you. So this is a little plate that, looks like a soccer ball because it was a World Cup themed youth event that we did. And I actually showed this and shared this last week at First Church during our time with children. And so I read a couple of them to the kids. So I'm going to do that with you too. So Sydney, I am so glad I got to see you this weekend. It made my fall. Love you bunches. Sydney, you are full of energy and have an awesome singing voice. Sydney, you have a great personality and are one heck of a dancer. There was a little dance at this that would happen. So that's only some of front and back. Now let me tell you, this was when I was in high school. I think this was 2005 or something like that. Not too recent. And I've held on to it. And I have held on to every single affirmation that has ever come my way from those youth events. They have lifelong impact and meaning. Now, do you know what I think the churchy word for affirmation is? Blessings. Blessings. At least ever since Jesus first preached these words on the hilltop that day. Before the Sermon on the Mount, there was this prevailing thought at the time that said blessings were only reserved for those who were the privileged classes of the day, the ones who were fortunate, for the Roman Empire leaders, for the Jewish establishment elite. Yep, the idea that God favors the quote-unquote worthy or the powerful or the resourced, that's not a modern-day invention. The people in antiquity, they got to that idea first. Though, of course, it is still alive and well today. It may initially seem to us now that the Beatitudes, this list of blessed are those that is instruction from Jesus on how to receive that blessing, on how to live one's life in order to be blessed by God. Yet everyone's favorite subject, grammar, can actually help us out here. You might notice that Jesus' words are not imperative. That is, they are not a command, they are not instructions, but rather indicative. They are describing. They are indicating how something already is. Put another way, they are descriptive, not prescriptive. I told the children last Sunday that Jesus' words say that blessings are for all of us. Rather than the prevailing thought that blessings only happened to the worthy or the elite, and therefore bad things happened as punishment from God, Jesus says, no. Listen, I am here to tell you that God doesn't treat you that way. That's not how God treats you. In fact, when the world says and sees you are poor, God affirms your belovedness. And when the world only sees you down on your luck and says you must have deserved it, God says nothing can make you unworthy to me. And when your heart breaks at the injustice you and others face, God, Jesus says, has not abandoned you, but is right there with you, comforting you. See, Jesus was speaking to a crowd who were the weak, the forgotten, the marginalized, the despised, and the downtrodden. Their socio-political reality was oppression by the Roman Empire. And their religious context was the elite Jewish establishment of the day, neither of whom were particularly interested in disrupting that status quo. But Jesus says in this list of Beatitudes that God chooses to be on the side of those who are lowly and being treated unjustly, and will continue to do so until they are treated as fully human and like the beloved children of God that they already are. To be blessed is not a reward, and it's not simply to be happy all the time, but rather to know that you are included in God's realm. You are included, just as you are. You are seen by God exactly for who you are, and God says, you belong. Reminds me of the belovedness and belonging of summer camp and youth events. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in the crowd that day? I wonder what it must have been like to have felt and heard somebody tell you, after a lifelong of facing military oppression and struggle, that you are truly the one God is blessing and affirming, that your life circumstance makes you no less of a child of God nor a lesser member of the beloved community. Can you imagine what that felt like? I wonder if some felt seen for the first time in a long time. I wonder if some were in awe and if some were in shock. I wonder if some felt too cynical to allow such an idea to actually land on their hearts. Perhaps others didn't know what to make of how radical an idea that truly was. And I wonder how many of us need to hear a message like that today. Need to know that God cares not about what we produce or achieve, but seeks for us to be in right relationship with one another through mercy and peacemaking and faithful treatment of one another. And that even when bad things do happen and when we are struck down, that God affirms in those moments, the deepest, most inner parts of our being that God knew before we were born, when God knit us in the womb, that we are already blessed because we belong. We belong to God and we belong to one another. So I invite us to participate and practice a little day modern reimagining of the Beatitudes. When I invite you to say, you belong to God and you belong to us, when I gesture to you like that. So let's practice. You belong to God and you belong to us. One more time. You belong to God, and you belong to us. May we hear these words of the Beatitudes for us today. We affirm the belovedness of those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who doubt and question, those who are yearning for more, and those who are still willing to be surprised. Blessed are those who are tired and weary and heavy laden. Blessed are the youth and families who find a way to work in church and sports and school and extracurriculars and much more. You belong to God and you belong to us. We affirm the belovedness of those who mourn. Blessed are those for whom death is not an abstract. Blessed are those who have known darkness and despair and faced it. Blessed are those with depression and anxiety and who suffer with addiction or illness. Blessed are those who grieve the state of the world and long for it to be more like heaven. You belong to God and you belong to us. We affirm the belovedness of those who are meek. Blessed are the ignored and the overlooked. Blessed are those who have to hide their true identity to the world. Blessed are the loners and the shy ones and the kid picked last in gym class time and time again. Blessed are the unemployed and the unhoused and the underfed. Blessed are the parts of each of us that feel less than, alone, or like we don't measure up in a world that values power and achievement above all else. You belong to God, and you belong to us. We affirm the belovedness of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who don't settle for that's just the way it is, who strive for there to be a better way, Blessed are those who are mistreated and undervalued. Blessed are those who continue to face injustices for the color of their skin, or their ethnicity, or their religious beliefs. Blessed is Tyree Nichols. Blessed are the victims of the Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay shootings. You belong to God, and you belong to us. We affirm the belovedness of the merciful. Blessed are those who give of their power and skills to help others. Blessed are those who befriend the bullied and the outcast. Blessed are those who work tirelessly for the betterment of all, for social workers and teachers, emergency responders, civil servants, coaches, healthcare providers. You belong to God, and you belong to us. We affirm the belovedness of the pure in heart. Blessed are those who know themselves and show up with integrity in all things. Blessed are those in therapy and working on healing. Blessed are people in spaces that are inclusive of all. Blessed are church camps and youth groups. Blessed are friends that show up for you in thick and thin. Blessed are those who make others feel like the best thing since sliced bread. You belong to God, and you belong to us. And we affirm the belovedness of peacemakers. Blessed are those who do the work of uniting and reconciling. Blessed are those who walk the path of nonviolence like Jesus did. Blessed are those who repair fractured relationships and who end systemic cycles of harm. Blessed are those who make peace with themselves. You belong to God, and you belong to us. And we affirm the belovedness of those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who speak truth to power and disrupt the status quo. Blessed are those who stand up for what is right. Blessed are those who leave jugs of water in the desert and protest injustice. Blessed are those who experience violence but choose not to pass it on to others. Blessed are the prophets of old, of today, and the prophetic voice within you and me. You belong to God, and you belong to us. Beloveds, we all belong to God. We are all one family, called to be with one another and to affirm one another's holiness. May it be so, now and always. Amen.